Lithograph, l'avenir. Perspective d'un phalanstère, ou palais sociétaire de l'humanité. Circa 1840. Read for you by Michelle Newell. The 19th century is often described as the age of feminist awakening. While the middle classes were inventing the new ideal of the housewife, and medicine was creating the myth of the lustless woman, for the first time in history, it was no longer just a few individual women who insisted on equality, but whole international networks. Women had finally realized that it wouldn't be enough for them to fight alongside men for justice and human rights. They were skillfully left out of all those pretty speeches about equality and fraternity, and still treated like second-class citizens. Or, as the socialist and feminist Flora Tristan, grandmother of Paul Gauguin, put it in 1843, even the most oppressed man finds a being he can oppress. His wife. The woman is the proletarian of the proletariat. Feminism was born, at the latest, with this realization, and gave the burgeoning socialist movement a helping hand in the struggle against an unjust power system, patriarchal capitalism. But who actually invented the term feminism? It's often attributed to the man who created this architectural and community model, the so-called phalanstère, a kind of double XL version of Versailles, whose halls were ruled not by monarchy and hierarchy, but by egalitarianism and socialist ideals of freedom. This man's name was Charles Fourier, and he was one of the most interesting utopians of his day. It's hard to say whether he really was the first person to talk about feminism, or whether it might have been more likely that a woman gave the movement its name. What is certain is that Fourier's dream of a small town contained under one roof, which one of his students would promote as the future in an advertisement published after his death, clearly shows that his community model and the fight to obtain for women a new place in society were closely interwoven. Social progress and changes of period are brought about by virtue of the progress of women toward liberty. The extension of the privileges of women is the fundamental cause of all social progress, wrote Fourier, a sentiment that would later find an echo far and wide. Marx and Engels cited his thoughts verbatim in The Holy Family. Rosa Luxemburg was also fond of quoting this sentence. Even today's feminists make reference to it, explaining repeatedly, relentlessly, that no society can speak of modernity or progress if women continue to occupy an inferior place within it. During his lifetime, however, the poor man wasn't understood at all. The few people who knew of him and his architectural and social utopias didn't view Fourier as a visionary, so much as a lunatic. Perfectly nice, but completely insane. He was, admittedly, rather peculiar. As a child, he would scare customers out of his parents' shop by telling them they'd be badly ripped off there and would do better to make their purchases somewhere else. As an adult, he dreamed that the sea would turn to lemonade and people would one day live on the sun. But until such time, he wanted to make the world a place in which people could live free and happy lives, instead of being trapped by lies and constraints. The phalanstère, a turbocharged early version of Le Corbusier's 1927 Machine for Living In, would educate a core society he christened Harmony, and reimagine, if you like, two areas of life in particular, the most important two, namely work and love. Society, Fourier believed, should be shaped in line with human passions, not according to contrived middle-class and early capitalist norms. He argued the case for the residents of his phalanstère not to do the same work every day. How boring. But instead, to try something new each day and have the chance to develop their talents. Especially, however, and this is important for us, he said that the housework and vegetable patch shouldn't always be left to women. In A New World of Love, he wrote, "Harmony cannot emerge if we are foolish enough to exclude woman from medicine and science and limit her to the kitchen and cooking. Nature equipped both sexes equally with aptitude in science and art." Mais oui! A couple of decades later, the British philosopher and early feminist John Stuart Mill would say something similar in The Subjection of Women, an essay he wrote along with his wife Harriet. But let's stick with Fourier. In order to shatter the notion, steadily gaining traction in the 19th century, that there was a natural link between women and the hearth, he said children should be brought up equally. Boys should be allowed to develop their feminine side and girls their masculine side. In such an extremely masculine century, this was a new and wild thought. Less new, but still rarely voiced by a man, was his view that the classic mould of civic marriage held women back in terms of personal development. It was out of the question that something as beautiful as love should have been invented only for it to wither away in something as dull as marriage, wrote this particular bachelor, arguing that an institution which treated women like goods for sale should be abolished. Monogamy, which he saw as an insane, hypocritical concept, would be the next to go. It produced nothing but lies and frustration. In contrast to many of his contemporaries, Fourier evidently didn't see women as frigid, sexually indifferent creatures in any way. His extremely amusing and clearly very earnestly meant typology of the cuckolded man laughs at the myth that says men stray more often than women because they must. You know, male sex drive, nature, and so on. Charles Fourier, who was once aptly described as a cross between Rousseau and the Marquis de Sade, believed that the world would be a better place and the people in it happier if they were allowed to live and love with greater freedom. Sadly, his phalanstère, the building in which this revolution of living and loving was to take place, was never built in this form. The only model to be inspired by it, the familistère, was not a success. Nonetheless, Fourier's ideas about work and love did inspire socialists and feminists to fight for a new social order, so that one day this world in a building might be more than just an idealist's paper dream.